Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you, and I hope I try to do the best I can. I got one of those colds that is moving around. I've been doing some coughing, you know, so you'll have to bear with me today. But as usual, we're going to uphold the authorized King James Bible is God's Word because that's what God says. And in the Old Testament, why it talks about the prophecies about Jesus coming, and Jesus connects his words with himself. And he says, talks about, if you're ashamed of me and my words, and many passages like that. And so it's very important that we have the words, because if the words are not right, then the message can be changed. And so our program, we talk about always upholding the word of God. Now, the prophecies about Jesus coming the first time, the religious leadership, I had all the evidence and proof of it, but they rejected him. And he's not here bodily with us, except in the form of his church. We're his body, but he's here with us in spirit. But he's here with us with his words. And so just as religious leaders rejected him when he's on the earth in bodily form, they're rejecting his words today. You know, in the United States, we have so many problems that have come to our country. And I was just seeing an advertisement on television in which they're talking about the city that I live in, Cleveland, Ohio. And they were talking about the mayor and blaming it all on him. And I'm not going to, you know, take a position that one way or the other. But they were saying about the massive number of murders that were taking place in our city. And in reality, many of these problems, from abortion to sodomy to murder to all of this stuff, is a rejection of God's word. Now, as we keep saying many, many times, people, they talk like they have it. And they say it's the authority. You hear preachers saying this over and over again, it's the authority and we are to go by this, and they uphold the word of God and everything. But in reality, when you talk to a lot of them, they don't really have it. I mean, they say that it's in the originals. Well, nobody has the originals, and they'll admit that if you pin them down, that they don't have the originals. But we have it today. And just as there is many prophecies telling where when Jesus came the first time, there's many prophecies that tell, and probably more prophecies that tell where he is today, where his words are today. And they all point like a laser beam to the King James Bible. Now, people don't believe this. They don't have a Bible. So you got to go to them. And these translations coming out, that's why I call them the chaos cult. As we were coming over here, some people were saying, well, that the founding fathers were all deist. And deism is simply saying that God made everything, then he took off and left it alone. And one of the things, and they'll say that Benjamin Franklin was the deist. Well, if you read what he said, why is it we're praying before we open the Supreme Court and open government offices and so on? Because Franklin got that going. And he said that God had supernaturally, basically, intervened in the American Revolution. Well, that's not what a deist says. A deist says God made it and took off. Now, the problem that we have today is that many seminaries and Bible schools, in reality, they are deist when it comes to the Bible. They may not be deist in other ways, but they're deist when it comes to the Bible. They say God gave the Bible, the original manuscripts, but now today we got to be looking in caves or digging a dead crocodile or, you know, go somewhere in a cave or a pyramid or something to find the originals, which nobody, of course, can have because they were all destroyed. And yet, the Bible says the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And the Bible tells us in many, many places where God's word is. And that's what we're all talking about. Now, Al, do you have a report today that you've been given?
Oh, well, actually, I'm going to give out the phone numbers there.
Okay.
And Ken, you're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman, and you can find us online at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And if you go there, you can find some past programs there, and you can find some information on Bruce Musselman and some other resources there, some different things that Bruce references from time to time. You can find all of those things at whereisgodsword.com. And also, if you have a question for Bruce today about the Bible, about the history of the Bible and the Bible versions, translations, and such, you can give us a call. Our telephone number, toll-free, is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And the telephone lines are open right now. So if you've got a question about Bible translations, Bible versions, and you want to ask Bruce Musselman here, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And again, you can also check us out online at whereisgodsword.com. And Bruce, you were looking at 1 John 5:7, I believe.
Yeah, now, last week somebody came in, they want to come in the studio. We don't really allow this unless we ask them to come in the studio, because we want to stay in charge of the program. But you can call in, anybody that wants to call in, and you just be respectful. We'll be respectful to you. And even if you want to question what we're saying, that's fine. Or you have a question, or you want to make a statement, we'll respond to it. Excuse me. Now, I want to give you, he heard for the first time, maybe one of the first times where we were saying that 1 John 5:7 should be in. Now, I'm going to take this out of a book, and I try to give books on here, on the program, that you can get and you can study, because what we say on here has been researched, and we've been doing it for 30 years now. I don't mean by that that you automatically are supposed to believe everything we say, but I would encourage you, particularly if you're a pastor or a Bible teacher, that you would actually do research. And if you're a Christian, you can do basic research on these things. And so the Bible says, they that were at Berea were more noble than those at Thessalonica, and they searched the scriptures to see if these things were so. So they even checked out Paul. So just because somebody says something, and I know one friend of mine, and I probably mentioned last week, he went to a large church, and he mentioned something, defended King James, and the lady nearly flipped out and got real frantic or something, nearly shouted out at him because she thought this was a great heresy. Well, I have, and we'll be reading this, the statements of faith of many major different Protestant and Baptist groups showing that God said he would preserve his words. Now, one of the problems is they don't teach that in many seminaries today. They teach against it, and yet it's there. But that's another program, and we've talked about that in the past. But I'm going to take these statements on 1 John 5:7, and Brother Al, you may have to step in here because I got a coughing problem. Now, I'm taking this from Landmarks of English Bible Manuscript Evidence, comprehensive study in Bible introduction for use in the training of men for the Baptist ministry, prepared by Pastor Robert J. Sargent. And this is he's in the state of Washington, and you can look this up on the internet, because I'm sure that they're on the internet. And this book is a study book, and I've taught it in class in the Bible Institutes or in the college where I was teaching. And it's very comprehensive. It gives all the different points of view and arguments pro and con. It's probably, I don't know, it's a very large book with large pages, and it's a study book that somebody can read the chapter and then answer the questions. And by the way, they have a whole series of courses. You could go through a 3-year Bible Institute course with these books. And if you want to teach it in your local church, have somebody teach it or the pastor teach it or something, and they can read the chapter and then fill out the questions and answers and then go over those in class. Now, on 1 John 5:7, we want to talk about this today. It's called the Johannine Common, and here's what this book says. It's found in the Latin Vulgate, thus in a great many Latin manuscripts. Now, people come up to me. I've heard this recently. They say, isn't the King James based on the Latin Vulgate? Well, people need to know, and they don't usually hear this, that long before Jerome put the Latin Vulgate out, there was an old Latin came out. It was called the Italic Text, and it was passed on in the Baptist churches, and that came out 100 years before Jerome wrote his. And so when we talk about the Latin Vulgate, that's Jerome's, but then there's the old Latin too. Now, found in 61, the Montfort Manuscript, this is 1 John 5:7, found in Codex Ravianus, then it's found in Speculum, found in R, Old Latin, 5th century, found, cited by Tertullian. Now, I heard on the radio, they say, well, it just slipped in from the margin. Tertullian was a lawyer, wrote books in 200. Cyprian, he lived between 200 and 258, and he quotes it. Quoted by Priscillian in 385, quoted by Cassiodorus, 480 to 570. Used by several African Latin writers to defend the doctrine of the Trinity against Arian Vandals. Found in the Temple Bible, Codex Tepliensis, an ancient Waldensian Bible. So the Waldensians were a Baptist group that had kept it all through the Dark Ages. And by the way, Luther, when he made his translation, and they're talking about the Reformation now. Well, all the Reformation leaders went back to the received text. Now, it wasn't named that till after these people, but that's the text they used. So, Luther had the books comment that when he was in the Wartburg Castle, that he translated the New Testament very rapidly. Well, he had a translation put up by the Waldensians. And it's called the Temple Bible that was translated to German. Al, you better take it for a while.
All right. And I don't have the book in front of me there. We'll get that moved over here. And of course, with live programming, Bruce's feeling a little under the weather here and coughing a bit. I know how that goes. But, when we look at this, what Bruce was trying to talk about is the evidence. You'll see these things that try to tell you that there's no evidence. And in fact, unfortunately, a lot of people are unaware of the wealth of evidence. In fact, let me back up here a little bit. We had in the New International Version, for instance, when they quote 1 John 5:7, and of course we understand that 1 John 5:7, the Bible says in the King James, it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Now that is one of the clearest, best verses attesting to the Trinity or the Godhead. Obviously, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the word Godhead is, and we know what we mean. So when we say Trinity, we're talking about the Godhead. And so this is a very clear thing. So when you read this passage in the New International Version, for instance, it says simply this for verse number 7. It says, "For there are three that testify." And that's it. I mean, they just completely take out the defense of the Godhead here. In fact, they take the verse apart. They combine parts of verse number 6 and the verse number 8 to try and make a verse 7. And so they basically say this: this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And his spirit testifies, because the spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify: the spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are in agreement. And then it goes on from there. But there's a footnote. And the footnote says this. When you look in the footnote, it says, late manuscripts of the Vulgate. And then it gives, testify in heaven the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that testify in earth, the Father. And that's the missing words here. And then it puts in parentheses a statement not found in any Greek manuscript before the 16th century. And Bruce, you're been coughing over there a little bit, but didn't Wycliffe put this in his Bible? I believe he did, didn't he? Yeah, and when was Wycliffe writing? A little before the 1600s, wasn't it? Wasn't he in, what, the 1400s, 1500s? I believe when Wycliffe was writing. Yeah, that's before the 1600s at least. And to put this statement there that no Greek manuscript, well, as Bruce has pointed out here, the original New Testament probably wasn't in Greek anyways. It was in Aramaic. And so when John was writing here, he probably wrote in Aramaic. And it was later put into Greek, obviously, the Koine Greek, so that it could be transported throughout all the world, which is one of the amazing things that God has done. Koine Greek was the world language of his of that day, and he put the Bible quickly into the Koine Greek so that it could go throughout the world. And now today it's in English, and that's the world language, as Bruce has pointed out in the past, and it's gone throughout all the world. And as Bruce was pointing out, there's a wealth of evidence going back to the year 200 at least, where Tertullian wrote which three are one, and he based it on that reading. So this is well before the 1600s. Tertullian wasn't waiting around for a late Greek manuscript after the 1600s or the late Latin Vulgate. Tertullian wrote and quoted 1 John 5:7 as it's appearing in your King James Bible in the year 200 AD. And that's in his book his writing against Praxius in chapter 25. And then, of course, Cyprian of Carthage wrote, and again of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it is written, and the three are one. And that was in his book on the Lapsed, on the Novations. And that was in 250 AD. Now, you know, I might have went to public school, Bruce, and I think you did too. But to me, the year 200 and the year 250 come slightly before the 1600s, don't they? So how are you feeling? You want your book back here?
Okay, thank you. You're doing really good.
Okay.
You know, I'm wondering, Harriet may have a cough drop for me.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get a
cough drop.
But again, when we're looking at these things, it's amazing that they ignore the early evidence. They ignore the early evidence that both writers, not just manuscripts, but writers wrote, and they reference it, like Tertullian that we were that I was mentioning here. We also have in the year 350 AD, Priscillian referring to it in a book that he wrote, Clarus. Adasius Clarus referred to this same passage also in the year 350. Athanasius referred to it in his book, De Incarnation, I think, if I can mangle my language there
Incarnation.
A little bit.
You know,
that would be the Incarnation. He's writing about the Incarnation.
Yeah, you know, and when you say Athanasius, that's very important because he was the leader at the Council of Nicaea in 325. He's one of the most famous people in history. And if he referred to it right there, that's very, very important statement that he refers to it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people have just heard one side. And you got to realize, we've mentioned this book called Hazardous Materials. And again, the books we were talking about are highly researched. I mean, they did their homework. And in there, it shows that so many of these people putting out the falsehood Unitarians, and by their own statements, the Unitarians, they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. So I was hearing a preacher, well-known preacher, and I'm not going to mention his name. My idea, we're not here to just put down people, but sometimes if they directly attack the Bible, I will mention them, but I'm not going to mention this one. But I just heard a sermon on blessed, and they were saying that means happy, and I know a lot of people are using it that way, but if you read the Bible constantly, that's not the meaning of it. It's just God told Abraham, I'll bless you, and your seed will be as the stars forever and ever, and Jesus said, more blessed to give than to receive. So blessing is getting something or receiving something or giving something, see? So it's not just happy. You might be happy if you get something, but that's not the meaning of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't fit into many passages, but he got that, I'm sure, from Strong's Concordance. And so a lot of this stuff that's being taught, people assume because somebody has got a degree that you can trust them. I mean, the more educated they are, the more trustworthy. Well, sometimes the more educated they are, the bigger liars they are. And Adam and Eve, what did they do? They ate at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it's the tree of knowledge, you know, that they ate at. And it's the tree. Where does that knowledge come from? Does it come from God or the devil or what, you know? That's the important thing. And so we're given the other side, and God has told us where his words are. The words of God are quick and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword. And every revival takes place in the English word always comes through the King James. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. And that's the truth of the matter. They've heard his voice to the tune of 5 billion copies, and every other translation disappears despite all the millions of dollars that advertising goes into it. So, you know, we're answering individual verses, but it's not God's will for us to debate and argue about every single verse, the manuscript evidence. I mean, somebody finds a new manuscript under a rock, are we going to change our Bible? No. Now, we do this to defend the King James, but we look at it because God has told us where his word is in many hundreds of verses. And so, for instance, in the Old Testament it says, this is my covenant with Jacob. The words that I speak unto thee shall not depart out of thy mouth, or out of the mouth thy seed, or out of the mouth thy seed, from this generation forever. And it says Isaiah 50, 20 and 21, 59, I believe it is, 20 and 21. Now, in other words, it's going to be based on the Hebrew Masoretic text. And this was attacked for a long time, but they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, that what we have today, it's compared almost in thousands of words, was exactly the same. And our King James was based on that in the Old Testament. And the same thing with the Koine Greek text. God gave the words to the apostles. Then he gave the translations of the words with the gift of tongues. And it mentions 13 different languages. And then it said the word of God, number of places, went through the whole world, heard it. So God not only gave the words, he gave the translation. And so 99% of the ancient manuscripts will back up the King James Bible. And we can defend it verse by verse. But that's not the way we, in the end, that we want to do it. And if you don't use the approach of what God said, where his word is, then there'll be this endless debate over should this be in, should that be in, something else. We say God has told us the King James Bible is his word, and we will defend it verse by verse, but that's basically not the way we should be doing. And when you don't accept that, then you have to go to the so-called intellectuals, and you really get messed up because they've shown themselves to be wrong, and they've actually run themselves into a ditch now. They say we don't know where the originals are, but thank God we have original word of God in the authorized King James Bible. We could say, in thy word do I trust. And that's the evidence that we have eternal life, because we have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, rose from the dead, and prays for us now, and loves us, and will take us to heaven and open the pearly gates for us when we go pass through this life. Well, we made it through this program despite physical hindrances, and Al, thank you for taking up for me during that time. And you do always do a great job. So I thank you for being here with us. And God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.